Thank you for tuning in to the Architect Introspect, the Architect's official radio broadcast on 91.9 KXRJ, the voice of Arkansas Tech. My name is Jonan Mitchell, and I am the co-editor-in-chief of the Architect. In the wake of the ever-changing scope of news media, the Architect has decided to expand into a multi-platform news organization to see news stories, opinions, and sports highlights written by Tech students. Visit our website online at architectnews.com. Disclaimer: the views expressed within an opinion piece are solely those of the writer and do not necessarily reflect upon the views of the paper as a whole.
Hello and welcome to this semester's final installment of the Architect Introspect, the Architect's official radio broadcast. My name is AJ Schaff.
And I'm Bob Williams. Today we will be covering recent awards in anthropology, this year's Time Out for Tech event, an Andel song review, an opinion regarding the recent climate summit, and an editorial.
So let's jump right into it with our first story of the day from our contributing writer, Tanner Gill, about recent awards in anthropology.
Founded in 2001 by the Communal Studies Association, the Timothy Miller Outstanding Book Award is used to recognize an outstanding contribution to the understanding of communal societies. The award is named after a retired professor of religion from the University of Kansas at Lawrence, Timothy Miller. However, it's not just Kansas that has reason to celebrate this achievement, as this year's recipient is none other than Tech's Associate Professor of Anthropology, Dr. Joshua Lockyer. Lockyer provided his thoughts and ideas regarding the award and how his book could apply to Tech as a community. Lockyer attributes a childhood experience to his pursuit of anthropology. Lockyer visited, quote, Native American reservations and small communities in northern Mexico, unquote, citing it as when he got to experience different cultures and foods. Along with partaking in the cultures and foods of these communities, Lockyer also visited archaeological sites. Visiting these sites got Lockyer to think about, quote, people, communities, and cultures who live different but flourishing lives, unquote. This childhood excursion to the South laid the groundwork for Lockyer's pursuit of anthropology, allowing insight into how different groups and communities live and thrive with one another. Upon receiving the award, Lockyer mentioned feeling as though it was, quote, a true honor and a culmination of over 20 years of research, unquote. This aforementioned research originally began while Lockyer was pursuing a doctoral degree at the University of Georgia, and eventually became a key point of his award-winning work. Lockyer also seemed humble by receiving the award, citing both Timothy Miller and, quote, past recipients of the award, unquote, as his mentors. Quote, it is a real high point in my career to have my research and writing recognized in this way, unquote, concluded Lockyer while explaining what the award means to him. Lockyer also highlighted the juxtaposition between communities like CeeLo, the focus of his book, and college campuses like Tech. When asked what lessons from his work he would like to see ATU adapt in terms of community building, he cited that there are major differences between the two. Lockyer highlighted that in CeeLo, the people share the land and tend to be there for the long term. Meanwhile, at Tech, Lockyer says the constituents don't own the resources, and that many of the community members, students especially, won't be around for the long term. Despite the numerous changes, Lockyer also highlighted how Tech shares similarities with communities like CeeLo. Among these similarities, Lockyer names the existence of student organizations and faculty and student governing bodies. While the two types of community differ heavily, Lockyer considers these organizations and structures to be the same types of groups, focusing on his cooperation shared between them. Upon his closing thoughts, Lockyer mentioned a course he will start teaching in the spring semester. I am teaching a seminar class about communities like CeeLo, cults, communes, and cooperative communities, said Lockyer. He went on to say that, quote, these types of communities have been such a big and important part of the cultural fabric and history of our society. If the study of anthropology interests you, Lockyer's course is the class for you. Lockyer just asks that you have, quote, curiosity and a willingness to read and discuss.
Next up is our second story from our contributing writer, Damara Hale, covering this year's Time Out for Tech event.
As Time Out for Tech 2021 comes to an end, the experience for everyone shows nothing but excitement for what may be in store for potential future students of Arkansas Tech. With approximately 1,000 students and their families in attendance at the biggest preview day of the year, students and families attend from local and surrounding city high schools such as Fordyce, Greenbrier, Fayetteville, Russellville, and more. ATU's SGA Vice President Caitlin Wright talks about what her view of Time Out for Tech 2021 really is about.
Being able to talk to them, tell them our experience, so that we can kind of help them get a head start for when they get on campus on what to do and how to get involved.
Russellville High School senior Lucas Baugh discusses how they felt and what they look forward to about their experience while being at Time Out for Tech.
I think it's, like, a really cool, like, opportunity to really, like, get on campus. Like, we've been told time and time again, like, oh, we need to start thinking about college. And this, is like, makes it real almost, you know? Like, we see the college, we see the campus, we see everything we can.
Although for high school seniors and their families, Time Out for Tech brings a sense of emotions. For RSOs on campus, it opened the door for opportunity. Sophomores and members of the Sigma Alpha sorority on campus, Abigail Petty and Amber Morris, discuss how their first-time experience is tabling at the event.
So it's a great way for people just to be like, yeah, I'm interested, and they get to know people before they even, like, join the organization. So
I think it's a great experience for students to get to know all the organizations and find the organizations that they want to be a part of and go ahead and get more information about them before they come, so that way when they do come, they hear that those organizations that they want to be a part of, and go ahead and get more information about them before they come, so that way when they hear that those organizations are having events, they're like, okay, now I can actually experience what these organizations are actually about.
For some of the current ATU students, being able to be a part of this year's event was their first time attending Time Out for Tech. SAB Vice President and Junior Brock Jacobs discusses how this experience was for him.
Time Out for Tech has been a lot of fun so far. I didn't go to Time Out for Tech, so to be able to give this experience to new students has been really fun, and giving them a taste of what SAB will be like when they get the chance to be students. So yeah, I'm loving it.
I'm glad that we got to show those students what we have to offer here at Tech, but it sure was crazy having all of those high schoolers on campus. Next up is a song review from our contributing writer, Caleb Reeves, reviewing When We Were Young by Adele.
In one of my recent writings, which you can find on our Arkatech website, I talked about my experience at the Arkansas State Fair and mentioned how I sang the song When We Were Young by Adele. This song featured on Adele's second studio album entitled 25 and released on January 2nd of 2015, features an emotional take on this idea of reminiscing about memories with someone beloved to you. I have heard this song many times, and I've enjoyed it for a while, but it's really hit me differently as of late, and so I really just wanted to try and describe how masterfully beautiful the composition of this song truly is. To establish the context on what lens I am interpreting this song through, I was singing this song to an ex-best friend who I don't really have any close contact with anymore. It truly is hard to disconnect from someone after you've loved them so deeply and so hard, even if you know it is for the better. And with that context established, you can probably understand why this song does hit so deeply for me. Now, looking at it musically, this song is quite classic. I don't think that a solid and minimal piano and strings ballad can truly ever be out of date or unlikable. It's quite hard to mess up something as solid and as simple as that type of music. When nailed perfectly, it's very effective, and Adele knows how to do just that with her powerful yet beautiful vocals. Now, as far as lyrically goes, I completely adore this song because it accurately puts into words feelings that I couldn't quite put into words myself. The whole piece is very centric on romanticizing memories and nostalgia with people you love and the relationships you share or did share, and you'll kind of begin to see that as we go into the analysis. Now, beginning with the first verse, it says, "Everybody loves the things you do, from the way you talk to the way you move. And everyone here is watching you, because you feel like home, you're like a dream come true." Now, in my opinion, I don't know if there's quite a better way to simply describe this experience of radically and fanatically loving someone. And, like, whenever I just, like, was friends with this person, I saw them as this it person, in a sense. He was, like, everything I could have ever wanted to be, and he was just, like, a person that could, in my eyes, be universally adored and, like, just was this ideal.
And so then the whole idea of a person being home also just kind of emotionally destroyed me, because it's this specific feeling that's so rare and just, like, isn't easily achieved. And, like, this friend was truly a person who made me and made others that he was around feel at home. And so now moving on to the pre-chorus, it says, "You look like a movie. You sound like a song. My God, this reminds me of when we were young." And, like, wow. I mean, the lyrics, like, they're not super complex or, like, incredibly, like, verbose, but it's, like, the beauty of the complexity found within the simplistic wording is what really gets me, because there's so much implication behind the comparison of a person to, like, a movie or a song. It kind of just, like, portrays this person as, like, a quote-unquote cult classic in a sense. Like, by comparing them to a movie or a song, they're, like, something that's universally adored by many. And so that really just adds to the quality of, like, radically romanticizing experiences and relationships that you have with people that is something I often find myself doing. And between all the longing and romanticizing that takes place in the lyrics, there's also just, like, a beautiful desperation there. The latter half of the first verse says, "But if by chance you're here alone, can I have a moment before I go? 'Cause I've been by myself all night long, just hoping you're someone I used to know." And then the second verse says, "I was so scared to face my fears, 'cause nobody told me that you'd be here. And I swear you moved overseas, 'cause that's what you said when you left me." And so it's just, like, very chilling to hear both being read and especially to hear being sung, because there's such a sense of longing, but also just, like, that fear as well. I truly just love the messiness displayed in the emotions and the mix of just this both, like, I want you, but I'm also afraid and want to stay away, is, like, really accurate to human emotions. And quite honestly, I can say from firsthand experience that emotions are nothing short of messy, and it's nothing short of messy to miss somebody, but also know you shouldn't be around them, you know? I think that for me, this song is truly just a longing cry for something that will never be and never come, a longing cry for, like, this person and that one moment to, quote, as the chorus says, "photograph them in this light in case it's the last time." And so it's a wish for closure and a goodbye before all the change that happens that, for me, never really got to come. Pain demands to be felt, but it's also a blessing to know and understand that there are ways to cope and ways to make your tragedies a work of art. I don't think you ever stop missing somebody or ever stop loving someone, but you kind of just eventually get used to living with that pain. And so I kind of just want to conclude with, like, the bridge, because it takes me to the place where I'm in at the moment. And it says, quote, "It's hard to admit that everything just takes me back to when you were there. And a part of me just keeps holding on in case it hasn't gone, because I still care, but do you still care?"
Now an opinion piece from our contributing writer, Trinity Lisk, concerning the recent climate summit.
During the first 2 weeks of November, world leaders from around the globe are coming together for the 26th Conference of the Parties, COP26, in Glasgow, Scotland. This conference is a crucial climate summit for the United Nations. The summit aims for world leaders to set targets to reduce the onset of climate change. The most imperative goal is to reduce fossil fuel emissions drastically. This year, scientists worldwide say that nations must make immediate changes if they want to avoid the most dangerous of climate change impacts. Leaders like President of the United States Joe Biden and Prime Minister of the United Kingdom Boris Johnson spoke and made promises to change the industries in their countries and reduce emissions. Other countries like India and Japan made similar promises. Many of them also spoke with disappointment about two of the world's biggest industrial countries, Russia and China, refusing to join the summit. How justified are they to fault those nations, though? Are they any better with all of their speeches and promises? If anything, the world leaders at the COP26 are worse. They are spending 2 weeks making promises back and forth to each other. They are putting on a big show of peaceful global cooperation and caring about the environment. Until actual actions are taken and accurate results are seen, this is just one big public relations event to satisfy constituents and ensure smooth political control. The famous climate activist Greta Thunberg put it best when she addressed the Fridays for Future rally in Glasgow. Thunberg said, "The COP26 has turned into a PR event where leaders are giving beautiful speeches and announcing fancy commitments and targets, while behind the curtains, the governments of the global north countries are still refusing to take any drastic climate action." Furthermore, she is right. COP26 comes 6 years after the signing of the Paris Agreement. The Paris Agreement was a set of accords that requires all signing countries to set emission reduction pledges founded in 2015. The Paris Agreement gave a goal for governments to prevent the global average temperature from rising above 2 degrees Celsius. Despite these promises, earthwarming emissions have continued to rise over the past 6 years quickly. Not only are the promises these countries are making not ambitious enough to impact climate change truly, but they are also empty promises. These world leaders have proven that they are not capable of keeping their promises, and they have allowed the fossil fuel industry to have too much power, and because of that, the world's citizens continue to suffer.
Our final story is an editorial on how our news organization relies on your feedback to keep us going.
The Arch'tech has been around and student-led for 98 years. It is no secret that the Arch'tech, as a news organization, is reliant upon the people who reads us opinions, wants, and needs. The Arch'tech is reaching out to the community. What do you want from your student publication? The Arch'tech has made immense progress in the last semester. We have continued to publish a weekly newspaper, established a stronger presence online, and we've also started the Arch'tech Introspect. All of that progress becomes moot without a regular viewer base. The truth is, we do not want this paper to fail. This happens when tech students do not wish to look at our content. We want people to pay attention, to pick up the paper, or look at our website. The best way to achieve that is to put out content and listen to what students and staff alike have to say about our paper. We at the Arch'tech are asking for ways to suit the needs of students and faculty better. This last paper of the semester gives us at the Arch'tech several months to ponder and reflect on our last semester. We want all the criticism we can get because we believe it is a significant factor of change. Please reach out to us with your comments and concerns at thearchitechnews.atu@gmail.com. Because we at the Arch'tech believe the most important part of any newspaper is the people who read it.
And last but not least is our sports recap. The Golden Suns volleyball team dropped a game behind the conference leaders, Oklahoma Baptist. They lost to Harding last Thursday night in another five-set thriller, going down 16-14 in the final set. Tuesday night, they came back to take the match against Arkansas Monticello 3-0. Their final home game was last night. The conference tournament will be November 18th through the 20th in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
The Wonder Boys football team won their last game, 56-21, against Northwestern Oklahoma State. This Saturday will be the last home game of the year for the Wonder Boys, as the conference-leading Harding Bisons come into the Throne Stadium. The game is set to start at 2 p.m., and pregame tailgating will begin at the Crayball Hall lawn 3 hours prior to the game.
Both the Golden Suns and Wonder Boys basketball teams will start their seasons this Saturday. The Wonder Boys season will begin on the road in the MIAA Crossover Challenge against Fort Hays State on Saturday at 5:30 p.m., November the 13th. They will then turn around and play a Sunday evening game at 5 p.m. against Emporia State. Both games will have a video link on the Great American Conference website.
The Golden Suns will play their first game on Monday, November 15th at 5:30 p.m. against the Champion Christians. Again, there is a video link on the GAC website. All schedules for the sports teams are listed on the Tech Sports website at arkansatechsports.com.
So make sure you come out and support the Golden Suns and Wonder Boys at their home games this season.
And with that, our last broadcast of the semester comes to an end. The music of today's broadcast was provided by C418, and it is called Stall. You can find more music from C418 on YouTube and Spotify or at c418.org. We've enjoyed doing these broadcasts and hope to continue next semester.
I've enjoyed doing these broadcasts this semester. Also, I'm planning to graduate this December, so as my final sign-off, thank you for tuning into the Arch'tech Introspect on 91.9 KXRJ.